Welcome back, y'all. It's our job to put a little tap in your toe, a little smile on your face. We do that by taking your calls and solving your problems at 1-888-767-4348. That's how you reach us here at Rosie on the House and let us visit with you through your dilemma. We have Paul that got on just before the break, and he stumped me. So, following my wife's advice from 28 years ago when I was walking out the door to do the very first show, she said, "Rosie, if you don't know, say you don't know." And I didn't know the answer to Paul's question, so we found us an expert that would. Paul, again, state your concern, and then I want to introduce you to Andrew of Intelligent Design, one of our Rosie Certified Heating and Air Conditioning Specialists in Tucson.
Yeah. Well, the thing booms all the time. Every time it starts, it booms, and then there's a big vibration, constant vibration in the ceiling. They put rubber pads in, supposedly, and a guy found oil in the coils, copper coils, so they replaced it with aluminum coils. And then we talked. I don't know.
You know what? Andrew's a professional. I bet he's already got some things in his mind that he can help you with. Let's bring Andrew.
Quick question is, how old is the unit?
Let me give it to the woman. I'm a little hard of hearing. She's better.
And 3 years. They've been fighting with this for 3 years. And from what I understand, it started at the install, at new in, switch out.
Yeah,
so.
It was an install 3 years ago, Andrew.
Oh, wow. 23 years old. Okay. I don't know if the wife is getting on, but I'll answer the question here.
Okay.
The loud boom is definitely an issue with the compressor. So whenever you have that going on in the compressor, it can be a issue with refrigerant, or the compressor is starting to go bad. And some of the solutions that we've done for that is a hard start kit, which is basically like a jump starter for the compressor, because they draw a huge amount of power when they kick on. And so that could be a solution. There are some refrigerant additives that add some lubrication to the refrigerant, and that can help. And if it's not those things, it could very well just be a bad compressor that needs replacement. But one of those things is going on. We just need to get out there and diagnose it. We have experienced this problem before, and we can fix it. We just need to get one of our senior techs out there, figure out which of the problems it is, and then resolve it.
Do we have Paul's wife back on the phone?
All right.
He went to go find the missus, and the missus was a little bit farther away than we thought. Andrew, we appreciate you allowing us to interrupt your Saturday morning, whatever it was you were doing. That's Andrew Dobbins, owner of Intelligent Design, Air Conditioning and Heating and Plumbing in Tucson, and Air Conditioning and Heating in Phoenix as well.
Your number, Andrew?
It is 520-333-2665.
All right, man. You enjoy the rest of your Saturday morning. Thanks for letting us interrupt.
Yes, sir. You have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Like I say, if it had been making that noise when it shut down, that's a real dilemma, too. That's the issue I'm more familiar with. But making a loud noise at startup and then vibrating the whole time it's running.
That's aggravating.
Yeah. I think it's really time, Paul, to if that contractor has been out over 3 years multiple times to try and fix it, it's time to reach out to another contractor to see if they can't get you set up. No reason living miserable for 3 more years.
Diana writes in and wants to know, what directions should the ceiling fan go in the summertime? There's a switch on your ceiling fan.
Right.
And the theory is one time you turn it one direction, so yes, it pushes the warm air off the ceiling because hot air rises,
yes,
and back down to floor level. Obviously, that would be your winter application.
Yes.
The other time it's pushing, it goes down and it's pushing air down.
Creating a draft, evaporating the moisture from your skin, and giving you the sense that it's actually cooler than it is. It's faking you out.
It's faking you out.
It's not actually dropping the temperature of the room. That's why we tell people don't run a ceiling fan in your room when the room is empty. It doesn't cool the room off. It only cools your body off. And when you're in the summer, the fan should be blowing air straight down. That's generally, I believe, laying down on the floor, looking up clockwise. And not all fans are the same, I don't believe. But just make sure you're blowing down in the summer. And in the winter, reverse that. It will actually be pulling air out from the center of the room, pushing it up against the ceiling, and the warm air collecting at the top of the ceiling will then be washing down the walls of the room. So there you go. Appreciate the call.
That was Diana.
Okay.
Deanna writes in.
We'll take this, and then we'll go to Alma, who has a water heater question on air, on the line.
And she wants to know, in April, you had a guest on your program that does recycling. I think his name was the Data Doctor. But when I looked up his website, I couldn't find anything for electronic recycling. Well, that was Ken Colburn. He joins us monthly, the Data Doctor. Well, he was talking about a company called West Tech Recyclers. And you can find them online, West Tech, but only one T, West Tech Recyclers. And I had the opportunity to check out their operation on Wednesday. They have a really neat building, red brick building built in the 20s. And whoever was taking care of that, it's still, the wood rafters are still 100
years
old. But they have 45,000 square feet under roof that they just take electronics apart, piece them up, and send the metals to this place, the plastics to this place, and they will do pickups. So you can call and get on their schedule. They won't send one truck out for one item, but you organize something with your neighbors, or if you're a business, they do a lot of business pickups. So if you've got some old electronics, don't let those go to waste. Virtually everything is recycled. He said the only thing we don't recycle is all the food crumbs that are in the keyboards.
Oh, yeah. That's a good thing. Let's go to Alma and talk about water heaters. Alma, good morning. Thank you for calling. Hello. Rosie on the house.
Hi.
Hello.
Well, I have a question. You talked about a gentleman who had the hot water in the summer problem, and he had two water heaters.
Right.
Okay, I was wondering, because I just replaced my water heater because it went out. And this is a new house that I just moved to.
Okay.
Well, it's new to me. But anyway, when the water heater went out, I turned it off.
Okay.
But the water was still going through there. So when I turned on the hot water, it was obviously a lot colder than the cold water.
Right.
Why couldn't I just use that and leave that water heater off during the summer to get cold water?
You can. You can. That's what I was trying to explain to the prior callers. We had a listener call us one time and say, I've just got two water heaters. One, I bought the cheapest water heater I could. I didn't connect it to the electricity. I just use it as a storage tank to bring the cold water in. And then after it cools in that tank, then it feeds the rest of the house. And then sitting right beside it is the functioning hot water heater. So when your hot water heater went out, you discovered exactly what this other homeowner implemented, that with the water sitting in a water heater that's not turned on, it actually cools off cooler than it's being delivered to your house, especially after it has to circulate through any lines that are up in the attic. So
okay. I asked someone, the person that put it in, I said, can I just leave it like that, leave it off? And he said, no, if you leave it off, it ruins it.
Leaving it off won't ruin it. If you're talking about turning it off for the summer, I don't think that's going to create a problem. And then your hot water supply, I'm trying to interpret what you're trying to do here. Then your hot water supply is just what's being delivered from the city, right?
Right, but the one that sits there is going to be colder than the one.
Yes, yes, okay.
I can do that.
You can do that, Alma. You can absolutely do that.
Thank you so much.
Okay. There's another concept. In the summer, you just turn the water heater off. You use that as your cold water supply. You use your cold water coming in from the city as your hot water supply, and you just get used to turning the mixing valves the opposite way.
Now, isn't there something you have to consider safety-wise from bacteria growing inside the tank?
Not as long as it's continually circulating cold, and it's city-supplied water, so it's all chlorinated.
Mm.
So once you run it through the RO system and take all the chlorine out and store it, you could have a problem. Or a hot water tank that's on in a hot condition. We've told people for years, don't set the thermostat above about 120 degrees. If when you turn on your hot water valve, if that water coming out of the faucet can melt instant coffee crystals, it's too hot. It will scald you. But I will tell you this, back to the story I was telling you about what they're discovering out of this Flint, Michigan story, I think they're going to change that standard, and it's going to be very, very interesting. Bacteria isn't killed at 120 degrees. Your thermostat has to be on your water heater up at about 140, 145. Well, that will scald you.
I was about to ask, do water heaters go that high?
Yeah, they do.
They do? They do. Okay.
So I think we're about ready to go through a huge evolution in the entire concept of water delivery and water treatment and water purification. It's going to be a very interesting story to track.
That's going to be interesting in pressure, because one of the things you do on a home inspector's checklist when they're going through is you turn the shower on to hot, and then a comfortable showering, and you've got the hot and cold. Well, then you got to flush the toilet and feel if you get a scald, because the water supply is now refilling the toilet, and you end up scalding. So that's something they do for pressure checking. If you're pushing 140,
then every valve has to go back to what they were telling us last week. Every valve then has to have a temperature control valve at the faucet,
right
at the shower head,
so, and that's
it's going to be
that can be an invasive repair in a lot of cases. Depending on
yes,
the
it could. Yes, it could. Okay, John's been holding for a while. Let's get to him. We'll clear John from the line. That'll open a line for you at 1-888-767-4348. Talking home improvement, home remodeling, and home maintenance. John calling from Glendale. What's your question this morning?
Good morning, Rosie.
Good morning.
I'm on the power saver mode from noon till 7. The problem I have is my air conditioner, which is a 3-ton train in about a 1,200 square foot house, does not remove the humidity, and it's been running, at 68 degrees since 7 this morning. It hasn't dropped it 1%. It's up to like 42%.
That's okay.
I just cannot get the water out of the house.
That's okay, John. At anything between 35 and 45% is going to be about right. Now, I'll tell you here in the next couple days, we've got clouds coming in. We've got a system coming in. We're expecting some water. Actually, the high projected for next Saturday, I think, is under 100 degrees. It's like 96 degrees or something like that. When that moisture moves in, you're going to see that condensate line running full speed ahead. When you've got the built-up condensation and humidity outside, you'll see that unit start dripping, and it should. We should generate on a 3-ton unit almost 7 gallons a day, okay? But 42, 43% humidity inside the house is just about right.